أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وإنه خير ناصر ومعين. Today is 9th of April 2011. We are starting our session number 16 of Ahd al-Wilaya or Sharh of Ziyarat al-Jami'ah and Aqd session number 11. We start with our usual Ziyarat of Nahiyah for Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
من ذريتي خاتم الأنبياء السلام على ابن سيد الأوصياء السلام على ابن فاطمة الزهراء السلام على ابن خديجة الكبرى السلام على ابن سدرة المنتهى السلام على ابن جنة المأوى السلام على ابن زمزم والصفا السلام على المرمل بالدماء السلام على المحبوك الخباء السلام على خامس أصحاب الكساء السلام على غريب الغرباء السلام على شهيد الشهداء السلام على قتيل الأدعياء السلام على ساكن كربلاء السلام على بكته ملائكة السماء السلام على من ذريته الأذكياء السلام على يعسوب الدين السلام على منازل البراهين السلام على الأئمة السادات السلام على الجيوب المضرجات السلام على الشفاه الذابلات السلام على الأنوس المصطلمات السلام على الأرواح المختلسات السلام على الأجساد العاريات السلام على الجسوم الشاحبات السلام على الحبال السائلات السلام على الأعضاء المقطعات السلام على الرؤوس المشالاة السلام على النسوة البارزات السلام على حجة رب العالمين السلام عليك وعلى آبائك الطاهرين السلام عليك وعلى أبنائك المستشهدين السلام عليك وعلى ذريتك
خدا Oh,
بر محمد و آل محمد سلام. اللهم صل علی محمد و آل محمد. May Allah accept from all of you, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Before I go to the topic, basically today, I thought either we do a mubahisa, because the things that we have spoken in the last few weeks, it's mounting up in your minds, and I want to make sure that there is proper understanding. But before going into that event, I want to make a mention and remind that I had an email conversation with one of our members from Jakarta, and she's a few things we exchanged in that email, and what I thought, I wrote this to her, but I want to mention it to all of ourselves to be reminded as to whether in today's world that everything around us is scrambling and the whole Middle East is like boiling, and what we do in terms of learning this ma'arif, how relevant is this to today's affairs. I mean, I'm saying it not for the sake of myself, for the sake of everyone else as well. I have a clear picture in mind about what I'm doing. And what I said to this member of us, that she's very active. She has been here, there, Qazda, and she's really a very active member of our, and I'm really happy to have come to know this person. And but I believe, and I remind ourselves of what we are doing. If you go and refer to the Ahadith of Intizar, there are different chapters in Ahadith of Intizar. What is the role of a person? What is the obligations or responsibilities of a person who is in that state of Intizar? We have said a few of this during our dua notebas in the about 3 years ago when we started. But just briefly touching on one of the things is, and even, I have to tell you before I even say that, this is a very ongoing issue, the issue of Zuhur. Everyone's mind is into Zuhur, especially with, not only with the current events in the Middle East and the issue of Tatbiq, and seeing that those are, whether those are what is said in the Ahadith as being the signs of Akhir al-Zaman or not. Also, people have started to feel, I was with a friend just very recently, and I could see he was saying that, yes, we have to know things are happening, but we have to get to know more. You can see people who have not known before enough or sufficient about Imam Zaman alayhi salam, they have started to feel the worry that what if happens tomorrow? How do I know whether that's Imam or not? We know that this might have happened throughout the history, that the events and emotions have mounted up to a level that people have thought it is now, that the time is now. And we know that there could be up to 70 or 72 flags goes up in the name of Imam Zaman alayhi salam, and they're all false. So what that does, that means that we have to know Imam Zaman alayhi salam, because Imam Zaman does not come with the face that we know. I mean, it's not someone who we have a picture of. The moment he comes, we can say, yes, that's him. So basically, and with the news that when he does things that people say, no, he cannot be the grandson of the Prophet, because he wouldn't have done that. So apparently, he does things based on what he has to do. But we do evaluate and judge things based on what we know and what we think is correct. So, I don't know, if he comes and tells to someone, kill your son, he would turn out this thing. But Prophet wouldn't have done that. We know that when he went to Mecca and the conquerors of Mecca, and he
what he did with those so-called tulaga, and then he was so merciful. But things may not be the same. So what I'm saying is, there is a full of news of the actions of Imam Ali Salam turns people against him, thinking that no, it's not him. He cannot do that. So for us to know whether it's him or not, we have to really study him. He study him as a current. When he comes, what would be the things that he will do? And I've always said, without tashbih, I mean, we are not making any tashbih. Tashbih means we do not say this is it. But in terms of simulation, the situation was simulated in Iran 30 years ago. You could see some of the things which were happening, and would be in the same line of things, but of course, it's still with a lot of difference of Nafsul Amr, that would call it. Imam alayhi salam would be the Nafsul Amr. What the rest of the people are doing would be only Ijtihad. That's the relationship of Ijtihad to Nafsul Amr of Masum. So what happened those days is like an Ijtihad, but you could feel and smell. So we have to learn Imam as a current, as we say in Farsi, a Jarayan. When he comes, what that Jarayan? Their Jarayan means the same thing. That jarayan or that current, what would it do? How does it move? Who would be the type of people around him? Because, I mean, there are a lot of people will go around him. A lot of people will go against him. And even we have, I don't mean to do any anti-mullah propagation. You know that there are even mullahs or rohani ulama will go against him. So we don't know who. It's not an easy thing. When it comes, you will see on one side of him a lot of scholars, and you will see also opposite of him a lot of scholars. How do you decide? How will you decide who is who? What is what? And then, so that's one thing that I wanted to say. There are a lot of fitnas during Zuhur, and we have to know, and only based on understanding and studies and learning the current and jarayan and the type of things that Imam do, we will be able. Of course, we will be able to make the right decision. I said it to my friends when we were discussing that, inshallah, the point is knowing and learning and efforting plus ikhlas. It is something make people realize the reality. And the other side of it is one of the chapters of issue of ghaibat, during ghaibat and intizar. I think the book that I remember from this ahadith, Mikyalul, what was the name, Mikyalul, something, wow, anyway, that people, it says, the chapter is, a lot of ahadiths come from Masum, and then the interpretation of that person is there as well, that we have to help Imam Zaman alayhi salam, that during the ghaibat, and helping Imam Zaman during the ghaibat, is one of the things is by helping him that you have to know him. By helping him, you have to spread his ma'arif. Because a few months ago, we started in a group of discussions we had, that what would be the life, the world like when Imam alayhi salam comes. We were trying to, through the hadith, to get a picture of the life and the world when Imam is there. What would he do after everything is finished? The world is not going to finish. We don't have any such news that when Imam bring the justice, then it says, okay, I've done my job, justice is here, let's finish it. It's not that. I mean, that means the world will continue after, whether it be one day or no one knows how long, or at least I don't know how long. So, when Imam comes, and when everything settles down, again, it only be knowing him. Knowing him and knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's all about ma'arif and ma'rifatullah. So what we are doing, it's all along in the same way of zuhur. We have to keep our eyes and ears open. That's what I said to our member. We have to keep our eyes and ears open. We have to learn and study the currents of the zuhur. We have to know, to learn about all those news that is said that is going to be during the time of Imam alayhi salam. So, and that's what I wanted to mentioned. The other thing is that I should have probably said it last session when I raised the issue of how difficult is our talks. It may sound difficult. As I said, there are two ways of approaching this type of work that we are doing. One way is because when I started Ziyarat-e Jami'ah, I did a quick look into a few books of Tafsir of Ziyarat-e Jami'ah, and a lot of them, basically, they may do the way we are doing it in private sessions. But in written book, I did not see the way we are doing it. A lot of them come with a lot of naqli. Their approach is more naqli than aqli. So it's very enjoyable. They quote ahadith for Imam Zaman alayhi salam, or Ma'sumin as a whole. How they do, how they live, what the maqam is. And it gives full of joy. But at the end, the mustami' does not know, the audience will not know why. If Imam Ali is like this, he wouldn't realize. I'm not criticizing it. I'm saying that's probably, I assume, which most probably is the case, that is for general public, or when they write for even the book for general public, they won't go into that. Otherwise they have to go to philosophy and a lot of nazariyat and theories. So we could have gone to the easier way, I mean, just bringing naql and ahadith, but I'm assuming that you're all okay with the way we are doing it, right? So it might be challenging, it is mind challenging, but at the end of the day, when we read Ul al-Hijab, we know why they are Ul al-Hijab. At least we understand, not only the meaning. That's the other thing I wanted to mention. Today, what I have in mind, I want you tell me what to do. Two things I thought we can do. I can say a very brief wrap-up of the last two sessions, and then open a mubahasa for 30-40 minutes, and questions basically, or debates or talks about it. Or I will do that and maybe another time. When I was quickly listening to what I had said last week, just starting from this file, then going through, I saw at the beginning of my talk, I had spoken about that. Look how much you have become different, maybe, and you may not know from the previous years. And then I gave the examples of, look at your understanding from Laylatul Qadr. You remember? Look at your understanding. Is it the same thing? And then I came to this verse of Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. And then when I heard what I said, I said, oh my God, poor them. These guys are listening to me. I couldn't even understand what I said by myself when I listened. It was so quickly jumping from one word to another word. So I can go and bring that verse of Quran and more properly explain it, or go to the few sessions, wrap up a quick, really 5 minutes, maybe 5 to 10 minutes of wrap up of the last two sessions. Which one do you want me to do? Just start the moment, which?
I didn't understand the second option.
You get us one option. I take that 10-15 minutes instead of going summarizing the last 2-3 sessions. Was the other option was that verse of Quran that I read, and I thought I have really said something about it, but when I heard myself, I was just jumping from one word to another. I did not realize what I have said.
So why don't we do both?
Yeah, time would be.
Is it 15 and then 5 minutes, so 20 minutes?
Yes. My suggestion is that the mubahise or the summary of the last three sessions we can do later, because we all are writing essays as assigned by you. Once we write the essay, then it will be more fun to do the summary.
I thought the reason even of that was to help you with the essay.
Okay.
Okay, to help you with the essay, because
I go with the first one.
Okay. So we go for this. And if there was time, after Mubasa, and even if there was not time, I can do that in another session. But this هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that verse of Quran.
So you're going to do the verse later?
Sorry? I said if the... No. I said we start with summary. And if the time allows, today, we do today, that verse of Quran. If not, we can do it in another session, next week or sometime later. In a Friday, we get together. We can. There is time for that. All right. Basically, the things we discussed, I'm just doing a very brief summary. And I want you to raise all those things that you might have not understood and if you have any problem. We spoke about Aql and we discussed how Nafs is getting completed or actualized Aql-e Hayulani, let's say. Aql-e Hayulani and Aql-e Bil-Maliki and Aql-e Bil-Fil and Aql-e Bil-Mustafa. They were all different stages of, let's say, development of Aql, if you like. So, we said how that Aql of the child grows into gradually to an actualization that is in the Ittihad union of him, his nafs, with Suvar-e Ma'qule. And then I said, how does Suvar-e Ma'qule comes to one? How do we get to know Suvar-e Ma'qule? Basically, Suvar-e Ma'qule is intellectual forms. And I said intellectual forms, this is still might be a bit vague for some of us, that what is an intellectual form. If you remember, you go back to a disengagement of objects, how they are first material. When you look at them, they are material. When you disengage that material, let's say book, the book itself in front of you, when you disengage it, you get a picture, an image of it. In the level of imaginal level, so you have taken it up one level, you have disengaged it, and then when you want to take it up from alam-e khiyal and disengage it from khiyal, then you have to take the image away. If you take the image and dimensions away from any object, as well as material kesafat, they call it kesafat-e maddi, which is that philosophical term. It doesn't mean dirty. That means that you can touch it. That material thing, characteristic, you take away from it, what remains for you? It remains the meaning of it, the meaning of the book, right? So you have disengaged it to alam-e wah. So long as that meaning pertains only to that particular book that is in front of you, that's the tajarrud-e wahmi. Yes? If you allow me, I'll finish, and then you ask the question. And then, when you disengage one level higher, you take it to the universal meaning of the book, then that has become, this is this universal meaning of the book, which means that any book, and what comes to mind when you think about the book is something which is written in. And that universal meaning, then that is Surat-e Ma'qul. That is in, because why is called ma'qul? Because this is in intellectual level. In intellectual level, you only have meaning, nothing else, and that universal meaning. So that universal meaning of book, which is now in front of me, that takes me to the books, any type of book, right? Even so, if you go even one more level, which is very high level of universality. You go, that book contains even nafs, that book contains Haqiqat Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that book contains all the books which the Quran talks about, the Kitab al-Mubin, which is, that's also a type of book. So, these universal meanings are called Suvar-e Ma'qule, intellectual forms. When it is at the stage that we look at it, that's Surat-e Mahsuse, or sensual form. But of course, that Surat-e Mahsuse, Mubsare, that means it comes only, it's only a visual. Mubsare, it comes from the eyes, means a visual form. And then when you disengage it to Khiyal, it becomes, when you take the image and put the rest of the things behind, this becomes an imaginal form, or Surat-e Mutakhayyale. When it goes to higher, it becomes Surat-e-Maqul. So what happens, a child, gradually when he sees water here and there, and in a bathroom, in a toilet, in a drinking bottle, in a sea, in the shower, in the bathtub, so gradually the Surat-e-Maqulah becomes united with him. He knows what Surat-e-Maqulah of water is. Did I say up or I said water? Sorry. Sometimes I say up. Up means water in Farsi. My apologies. I've become multilingual. So. And that Surat-e-Maqulah of water remains in the nafs of that child. So he doesn't even know that. I mean, if you ask him what is Surat-e-Maqulah, he will slap on your face. He thinks you're talking about some ice cream or something. And I'm imagining that our Layla, she knows definitely, she has the Surat-e-Maqulah of water, for sure. But she wouldn't know what the make of it. So gradually, that nafs and Surat-e-Maqulah of, which is only potentiality of Layla, gets united during this process of learning, united with Surat-e-Maqulah of water, then with Surat-e-Maqulah of fire. So, one thing she adds, she expands. Another thing she adds, she expands. So she keeps expanding. Now, or when you look at Aliyan that goes to school now, he has a lot of Surat-e-Maqulah, though he also doesn't understand. So he's, in terms of his actualized intellect, is, let's say, he's this big, Layla's is this big. So this, it is his wujud which has expanded. So this keeps continuing. So this is how this process is, how Aql-e Hayulani gradually turns into actuality. And then we said, what does this? What is, this is the work of what? This is Aql-e Fa'al who does this. And then we said, which is called Nafsul Amr. Right? Nafsul Amr, where the real reality of everything is that Nafsul Amr. So, Aql-e Fa'al is working throughout all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and giving actuality to them. And then, I don't go to the very first session of Aql-e spoke about Ughula Ashari. I'm talking about just the last two sessions of Aql-e. And those Ughul, we said those Ughul, those intellects which are making this happen, which are doing this, they are creating, what are they doing? They are creating kalamat wujudi. Existential words are being created this very way. So, when you look at the seed of a tree, that how the seed gradually grows, it comes to something real in outside world, in external world, that is how existential word of Allah is being written. And the same thing when you imagine an embryo of an animal. It's all potentiality, and when that potentiality is coming to actuality, that is how Kalimati Wujudi of Allah is being written in outside in Ghawth al-Sa'ud. Yulajul Layla fil Nahari, Yulajul Nahari fil Layl. So Layl is in Ghawth al-Nuzul, Nahar is in Ghawth al-Sa'ud. So then we continued from here, and then we said Aql, which is doing Kalimati, which is writing Kalimati Wujudi, is the same as angels and the same as of Asma'ullah. They're all the same, basically. Except that I have to keep this for future, inshallah, that Asma'ullah, basically Aql or angels are giving Zuhur to Asma'ullah. So we call them the same, but there is a little bit of difference. Asma'ullah, they take no ta'ayyun as such. So there is a technical difference here. So I've left it for future, inshallah, in our future talks. But at the moment, there will be a number of issues that we bring it to a level. And then probably in a more technical level, we go and say, no, it was not like this. It is like that. Otherwise, we have to go in that trend. So these three all the same. They are working the same and they are doing the same thing. And then I reached to the issue of Aql Kol. Of course, I have not opened up. I'm intending, inshallah, to go back and talk about Aql Kol and the Mazahir of Aql Kol. And we said that Aql Kol is that one of the manifestations of Haqiqat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Aql Kol, which contains all the actualities of the whole creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it. Contents of the actualities, it don't take it, you have to be careful that you shouldn't take it that it has got different parts, because Aql Kol is basit. And basit means what? Basit means is a level that things do not have ta'ayyun and tashakhus and individuity. There is no individuity. Like when we say all the actualities and fi'liyat of all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is within Aql Kol. Not in a way that you can say, yes, okay, this computer is there, this book is there, this table is there. It's in a state of non-individuity or universality. And I gave, or if I haven't, I give examples of the trunk of a tree with the rest of the leaves and branches before they are grown up or they have grown out. So Aql Kol is in that level. And we said that Aql Kol, we are, as human beings, we are lower versions or mazahir of Aql Kol. So there is a very beautiful hadith. I have left it for when we talk about that. That it explains so beautifully how we are related, our Aql is related to Aql Kol. So we are Aql Juz'i. And Aql Kol is the Aql of, we said, in Aql Muktafi, when we were talking, Aql Muktafi is when all presence to all the knowledge of the whole creation is with someone. That is the state of Aql Kol. Presence, because we don't have presence to all the things that we know when it comes to us. When I'm talking to you now, I've forgotten all about, let's say, I don't have any chemistry knowledge anyway, so I was trying to remember a chemistry knowledge. I don't have, anything else that I know. I don't have a presence, unless you remind me of, oh, last 2 months ago, what happens in Egypt, that comes, takes a tashakhus, or I make presence of. But when things are in a state of everything being remembered, being present at the nafs, and that about every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's Aql Muktafi, or Nafs Muktafi also they call it, which is belongs to Ma'asum alayhi salam. So we are Aql Juz'i. Then I also, if you remember, I said Aql looking down to lower, just the same, it's the same Aql, no difference, they are not two things. You have to be able to look at things samadi. Samadi means, as we spoke about samadhi, right? Samadhi means when everything, the wujud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fills everything else. So looking at samadhi in the issue of aql and nafs, that means it's the same aql fill the whole wujud of the nafs kol as well. So when aql looks down, it becomes nafs kol. They are not two things. The same thing, when it's only when it associates with the lower Avalim, which wants to give Kamal, it becomes Nafs-e-Kul. And then our Nafs being Nafs-e-Juz. So again, the same way we relate to Nafs-e-Juz in a way of Juz-e and the relationship of Juz-e to Kulli. Okay, inshallah, we talk more about this. Then we opened up the issue of Idrak, which was a very important part of understanding of Idrak, understanding of Ma'loom and what becomes Ma'loom, which is known. And Then I gave several examples of how Idrak, which is the nature of Idrak, is nature of Ilm. How it is created from matter. And all the tools that produce Idrak, they're all material themselves. And I give examples of, you put the food on your tongue. So the food is material, the tongue is material, the taste is material. but it creates an idrak which is non-material. And that we also brought it to the issue that that taste which is we feel is generated by nafs, by qubbay khiyal, by faculty of khiyal. So that idrak is within us, that becomes ma'lume bizzat. And that object outside, that food outside that we have tasted it, that is called ma'lume bil'aras. Ma'lume bizzat was known in essence, or known by essence. And ma'lume bil'aras, aras, we call it external, and we call bizzat internal. So it makes more sense, even if technically it may not be correct. So that taste which is created in us is internal, but there is an external taste, that external food, if you like. Or when the image you see of anything, that is an internal image which is produced by your own nafs. But you look at an outside object, you have to look at an outside object to the nafs create that image, internal image. And these are all ma'lume bizzat. But we spoke a lot about mahsusat, of course. Because idrak basically starts from perceptions of the sensual things around material world. And then we also said how this shows us how material or how matter does not become aware itself. Matter, it creates awareness, it creates a drug, but itself, it remains matter, remains matter. And then we said how you don't have only a drug of mahsusat, you have a drug of takhayyuli as well. So we can imagine, and those, of course, those imaginations come from inside. And they're also ma'lume as mutakhayyal. And then we have ma'lume ma'agul, things that when you hear about, you read and you hear and learn an object, a concept, that is created from within us. But basically this issue of that I spoke is, it more put emphasis on mahsusat, because that's the start of generation of any ma'lum and ilm. And then we said that ma'lum, that how, if you look at this notion, that from the childhood, how all these images of five different senses are being created, and are also mutakhayyilat and ma'gulat, are all being created from within, then that all this suwar becomes qabr or grave, not grave in physical terms, grave means barzakh. So they become our qabr, and we will be living this in barzakh with it. All the suwar that we have created in us, they are our barzakhila would be spent with them. And that's a very horrendous thinking, that what would it be? However much we put control on our five senses, still is not enough, really. One should be really careful as much as possible. And then I told you how I gave you a notion, try to give you a notion of when you look at a material side of idrak, and the idrak as ilm itself, showed you that how amal and ilm are related. Amal, physical amal, and how amal is perishable and it does not even stay. So that amal that we do, with that up and down we do, that must generate some sort of idrak. But the amal itself goes, finish. Next second, you don't have it. Then your salat, the salat is fajr we did together, is no more there. But if it has created any idrak, that is what has remained behind. So that shows the relationship of ilm and amal. However, I have to say that I do not call this amal. This is not amal, because there is, we have a, Allama Hassanzadeh says that, and I'm sure this is the concept of Mullah Sadra, he says, ilm and amal. Ilm and amal are the reality of insan. So it is not, he's not referring to that amal. That's the So I always see this ritual, material action. Amal, ilm. Right? So what I call amal here is I'm only referring to that those material actions which are perishable. But the amal that is johar, because ilm and amal are johar, this is the way it is said. That amal which is johar, that is the the fruit of your ilm which sits in the heart. That's amal. Masalan, you go somewhere that everyone is. I should give I should find some relevant examples. Okay, we go somewhere and we're all very hungry, and the food is put on the table, and we are ready to eat. Then you hear that the oil they have made this food with is not halal. That very thing keeps you away, and gives you the strength that you bear with the hunger, and you don't eat. That's amal. That is amal. Do you understand? So when your ilm comes to action, either to keep you away from something bad or takes you to something good, that is amal. Amal is what happens in qalb. Whereas, so do you see the difference of material action is one, physical action is one thing. What the effect of what you know on your daily life, that's amal, and what you have learned itself is ilm. However, having said that, I have to tell you, I have always really liked and wished that I could see Allama Hassan Zadeh and tell him, Agha Jan, these are both the same, ilm and amal here is not different. you feel the same thing?
Yeah.
I'm sure there is an explanation from him. that's to do with my ignorance. But the more I think about ilm and amal of the way I explained, not that physical side, I can't find any difference. And they're both the same thing. Amal is when ilm becomes iman, because it sits in the heart and that keeps you away from bad and push you towards the good. That is probably called iman. But anyway, natures are very, very, very similar. There. Nevertheless, so we spoke about ma'lum bizzat, ma'lum bil araz, and inshallah, once we have passed this stage, we are going to prove that even that ma'lum bizzat we know, we talk about, that is ma'lum bil araz itself. It's not ma'lum bizzat. What you have learned so far, that internal knowledge, which is ma'lum bil zat, and external knowledge is ma'lum bil araz. What we are going to go through to learn, that this ma'lum bil zat is ma'lum bil araz itself. There is another ma'lum bil zat, which is a different level. So I can't remember of anything else if you look at my notes that I should have. And I also told you briefly that the issue of joy and pain is issue, comes from the issue of idrak. Yeah, it's idrak zati, ma'lum bil araz, ma'lum bil zat. And then I think briefly I have said it. Of course, those things took about 7-8 sessions altogether, but this was supposed to be a summary. I stop here. And if you start a question, then we go through that question. If you don't start a question, I trigger a bahs so that we attend. Okay. Masume says that I could talk also on the issue of how matter is related to a drug. But I thought I said it. I said, but of course very briefly, I said how an object is required, like this table is required as an object, outside object, and the light is required, your eyes, which is material, is required, so that the light reaches the object and comes back, reflects back to your eyes. They're all matter. But that idrak, that image that is created in you is a non-material image. I think I said it. And that's, without the help of material, you never get that image made in you. If someone is blind, he wouldn't get that image. Yet, when that image, if you go today and looking at this table, and if this table is broken today, after you leave, so you don't have the image of the broken table, unless you look at that table again. So your image comes so directly from an external object, which is material, but the image itself is non-material. That was, unless you want, do you want to explain more, if anything else you think of? Yes?
You did say that, how matter remains matter, like after we die, you explain a little bit more, but of course this is a summary.
And you're right, also, matter remains back. I mean, this table remains table. The image and the awareness and known and ma'alum is created in us about this table does not change the table. Table itself remains table and goes back, breaks sometime, goes to the earth and perishes. You're right. And then, same way, this is for every material thing. Matter is the generator of idrak, but it does not become idrak itself. The plant, you say, when you look at, we have said that this is not called idrak, this is only little perception for the plant. But those air and heat and soil, they're all part and parcel of creation, that little idrak for the nafs, shaur, let's call it shaur for the nafs of the plant, to run the plant. But only those matter who have converted and became union, which they are no more matter, they have changed form, right? So idrak, basically, this brings me back probably to mention it, which I, in the summary, that idrak is the union of mudrik and mudrak. Only mudrik was what? Perceiver. Mudrak was perceived. So when there is a union between perceived and perceiver, that is when idrak happens. So basically, the definition of Allama Hassan Zadeh for this was also, when mudrik finds mudrak in himself or in itself. When mudrik or perceiver finds mudrak in himself. Masalan, that example that I gave for the child. Child becomes mudrik and that surat al-ma'hule becomes mudrak. But when the child gets to know about the water, surat al-ma'hule or water, they become inseparable. You cannot separate that surat from the child. So this is the union that happens between the aqil and ma'qul, so which is called ittihad aqil bi ma'qul. Yes, Ali Agha.
Right. When you say the idrak is created from matter, won't it be the created by the material interaction rather than matter itself?
Question, I repeat it so that it's clear. When we say, I said, you're telling me, or you're accusing me, having said that idrak is being made from matter, whereas
idrak comes
from the interaction of two matter. See, a lot of times when you talk, you will face the limitation of words at that very time that you need it. So, yes, I have to go back and re-listen to it, but at times I may make a wrong statements in that very, very technical terms. I might have said it. But with the further explanations I have given, I'm hoping that we all have understood, yes, it is between interaction of those material things, a drug is being generated from within us. Yes, you're right.
Because this generates a logical confusion. That if
logical confusion. Yes.
Okay, this one.
No, go ahead.
Because matter itself is unaware, right? It cannot do it wrong.
Yeah.
And between matter there is no idrak.
Yeah.
So then we, how can we say that idrak is created from matter?
No, okay, question again is, it creates a logical confusion. That is, how matter, which is unaware himself or itself, can create awareness, right? But basically this is, you're right, Ali, but we didn't say that. What we are saying is, aqil is using matter to create awareness. There is a mawjud which is already aqil. Also, let's say this, there is a nafs. There must be a nafs. And that for that nafs to go towards awareness, creating awareness in itself, that nafs need matter. Without matter, it doesn't happen. But yes, matter remains unaware itself. As I said, when you look at this table and the image is created from this, and that you come to know, yes, that's a ma'lum. This table becomes ma'lum to you. But it's obvious that your awareness is not material, because if it was material, that ma'lum is, if it was material in you, when you go away from this house, this matter is no more here. But your ma'lum is with you. If it was material, that ma'lum must have vanished. When you don't look at this, if you look at this table, you should see it. That's an awareness. But when you turn your head away, that ma'lum should go away. But it doesn't go away. Ma'lum is with you. You are still aware of this table. Similar with taste, similar thing with any thought or listening. So matter remains matter. That music which is played and it becomes ma'lum in your house, or my voice when you hear me, the voice itself is material. It's a vibration of air. But when it hits your ear, it creates and generates that awareness. But when I stop, you still have that surat ma'lum in you, but that matter is vanished. So matter is matter.
But so how that matter created idrak? Well, I accept idrak is...
You don't create... Matter is not creating idrak. Your nafs is creating the idrak.
Nafs is creating idrak.
Yeah.
But then how can we say, like, how can we relate this, let's say this way, that it comes even when we interact with the matter. Does the nafs interact with the matter? Or what interacts with the matter?
Yes, nafs interacts with the matter. Yeah, but nafs interacting with the matter means it is you. You have nafs, right? But interact, it depends on what
truth
is
matter.
What is in your mind when you say interaction. But it is you who looks. It is you who, your eyes is looking at this, right? But that matter is, let's put it this way. That matter, that which is your eyes, is back to back to your nafs. Is working for your nafs. That eyes, as a material thing, is the tools for your nafs, for your qubbaya basare.
So shouldn't we have any faculty which is like active matter or something? I don't know.
Active matter. I don't know what you mean by active matter. See, if what I said is all I know. I mean, I don't know more. However, I have to say that. However, sometimes you may read different things. And then, masalan, I'm just a bit suspicious. Not suspicious in a wrong way. That you might have heard about hisse mushtarik, and then you want to bring that hisse mushtarik, but I'm avoiding that topic, hisse mushtarik. Right? I mean, I don't know, you might have not read it, or you may even not. What I'm saying is, as much as I know about the five senses and idrak, I studied today. If you are in back of your mind, you're referring to hisse mushtarik, no, I don't want to bring that to this topic. Hisse mushtarik is very much part of this topic, but I don't want it to be this topic. This much is simple enough for us to learn right now. You are not referring to hisse mushtarik.
No, I'm not referring to hisse mushtarik. I'm only trying to make the link between how the matter is being perceived. Because if a matter is dead, it's unaware, it's dark, it's absent, right? And we say our material tools of sight, hearing, all the five senses, they also use the material tools. So the difference between this matter, which is the sensual organs or sensual actions, this matter is comparatively higher than the other matter. Or how does...
Which matter is comparatively higher?
I mean, this matter which uses, which does the idrak, idrak.
No, matter doesn't do the idrak.
No, matter doesn't do the idrak, yes. But now, when we use our nafs doesn't do it without using any senses, because senses are the tools to reach to that matter, to know that matter. But what I'm trying to say is, it doesn't show the connection between how this matter interacts with that matter. And that's where I'm...
Where is there no connection?
No, how, where is the connection?
Where is there no connection?
But, see, you remember what we said, or what I said in one of my statements, I think last week. I said, when I say I see, this is a wrong statement, because I is mujarrad, and seeing, see in terms of the way we perceive from the seeing, is material. But what I'm probably, I can see what you're looking for in your mind. You're looking for a connection, how matter connects with this mujarrad. Okay? Because when you look, if you look at it very finely, you get a bit confused that this is purely matter, matter is matter, and then how you cannot find in between, what is in between that connects this mujarrad, wujud mujarrad, with this material wujud. Probably I give a little bit of explanation that can help your understanding of it. We have what is called, there is an issue which is called Ruhi Bukhari. You have heard of it, right? Ruhi Bukhari is I've heard it from this is a work of Avicenna. But I've read it from the books of Allama Hassanzadeh most probably. So Ruhi Bukhari, basically, what is the relationship of our ruh that we know of, with this material body? The most general common notion comes to mind, which is most of the people, they look at it like a zarf and container which is filled with ruh. That is correct if you take Ruh Bukhari into account. Because in the process of digestion and of the food and creation of blood and then creation of all those energies in the body, what happens, a fine steam, if you like, of the food is running on the surface of the blood, as per Avicenna. And that steam, which is running on the warmth of the blood, that is Ruhi Bukhari, which it has got jarayan and sarayan in the whole body. It's running throughout the whole body. And maybe, only maybe, there was a movie or documentary which was showing that a dead body and a live body of the same person just before death, they have got about 83 grams difference. That, you don't know, I mean, it may refer to that Ruhi Bukhari. So when a person dies, what happens gradually, if you have seen a person at the process of death, what happens gradually, his feet starts, the ruh starts to come off from the foot, the feet. And people think, that's the way people said it in the past, that the ruh reaches, comes up and up and reaches to the chest and goes to the, from the throat. That's the way they really saw it. Whereas, yes, this Ruhi Bukhari, for whatever reason, it starts to becoming cold. I mean, when the body becomes cold, that steam, which is Ruhi Bukhari, gradually diminishes because of the coldness of the body. And this process starts from the feet, and it comes up higher and higher, until the body dies totally, when that Ruhi Bukhari is all vanished. The whole steam and the current, blood current is all vanished. I can see Dr. Muhammad is looking like looking like an aqil and dar safi. I'm only mentioning what Avicenna has said, Dr. Muhammad. So, yes. No, I really, if I was a doctor, I would have studied Tebbe Abu Avicenna, the medical theories of Avicenna. It was being taught up until 18th or 19th century in French universities. So, I'm saying it must have some sense in it. Which today's world doctors, they don't go by that. They go from different notions, which I totally disagree with, because I have so many problems, they have not solved even one of it. And it is very similar to Chinese way of looking, because when I was in China a few times, I went to doctor, and I learned what they do. You say, I have pain in my finger, or in my hand, or in my tummy. What they try to find, they look at the universal state of your soul and the balances of the body. And then they decide what is wrong and where is wrong. So they do not go, sorry, Dr. Muhammad, they do not go by like today's doctors, you just take an image from there. They take, so many times I say, I have pain in my right in my arms. They take 10 pictures and x-rays. They have nearly generated cancer in me. But I say, no problem. So that Ruhe Bukhari. No, I didn't mean to be critic of the doctors. So Ali Agha, what happens, that Ruhe Bukhari is between our body and the Ruh. So basically the soul is manipulating, if you like, and governing the body through the Ruhe Bukhari. Because Ruhe Bukhari is more fine, and is in a state-wise, is a fine matter. Ruhe Bukhari is a very fine matter. So senkhiyat-wise, commonality-wise, there is much more senkhiyat between Ruhe Bukhari and our soul, our main soul. And if that helps for you to ponder upon and see how all these tajarrud suddenly comes to interaction with so much matter, so much madde, that Ruhe Bukhari would be doing that. Then don't ask me what about plantic soul. It doesn't have blood. Okay.
I have a very simple question.
Yes, please.
It's my limitation.
Dr. Muhammad, yes, please.
Just back to the first thing when you were talking about it, when we do disengagement from Madhya Tahiyat. When you commented on my writing, which is very interesting. So when we do tajarrud for madda to khayal, we remove the parameter of time, because the khayal image has no time, right? But the dimensions are still there.
Yeah.
So what's the disengagement? We just disengage it from the material existence.
Yes. Disengagement is from material existence. That what I refer to as, they call it kesafat. That tazahum, that's material. But when it becomes image, that tazahum is no more there.
So it does have dimension, but it lost the tazahum and lost the...
Yeah. When you think of this table, you sense it yourself, that there is dimension in that image, that in your
that's
mind.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, that's there.
Okay,
very simple. Yeah. Oh, Sajid, any question?
Which is amazing. We were expecting much more.
Sorry?
We were expecting much more questions from him.
No question, Fatima? No, not, you don't have to generate questions.
No, I have this question from last time. So all the drugs we do is, it's all in the death. There is no sense for the drug.
There is no
sense for the
senses.
Drug.
No, so you don't have the senses.
So is that why we don't get to learn there?
Is that why we don't get to learn?
Or is that why there is no fast motion, or the motion is slow?
I'm trying to relate these things that you said. Number one, remember, just one, you might know it, but I'm just emphasizing. When we go to Barzakh, senses meaning referring to those material tools, yes, we don't have it. You don't have this ear. But it doesn't mean you don't have hearing faculty. Right? You still have hearing faculty. When you go to Barzakh, you have lost these eyes as material matter. But you have a still seeing ability.
But there's no voice there.
Fine. But that's fine. See,
I refer you to those topics of reality of death. Basically, what ruh or soul or nafs or whatever you call want to call it, has got all these abilities. When it comes to material world, it uses this ear to hear. Have you ever heard, I mean, this happens very often in dreams. In dreams, you go, masalan, you see someone that you have not seen before, but you know it is him. Masalan is Mr. So or Mrs. So. You in dream you are somewhere, but you have never been before, but you know this is the house of someone, but you have never been to that house. That is the sami'iyat of you. It has happened to me. I mean, it happens to everyone that I come to in the dream. I'm walking and I go to someone and I see someone new I've never seen before, and then I know this is Mr. So. That is your sami'iyat, the zat that you are. You don't need air vibration to be told this is Hasan Ali or whoever it is. So that sami'iyat, that basiriyat, all those things that you use, because if you lose your skin so that you don't have lamps touch, but you do have touching ability. Your ruh contains these abilities. So we have to distinguish between faculties. These are faculties of us that we have it, but these are the tools in material world which is being used for those faculties of nafs. When you die, you have it with you. You don't lose them.
In this lecture, you were saying that the tools, like without the tools, the soul is not able to do its job. So when you go to Brazil,
in material world. No, in material world. In material world, if the tools are not there, nafs is not functioning in outside world. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you go to Barzakh, you have your Cheshme Barzakhi, your eye Barzakhi eye, you have your Barzakhi ears, you have your Barzakhi. All the things are there, but are not the same things that you have here.
So the soul itself sees by itself without any tools.
But needs body. Soul always needs body. When it comes to material world, needs material body. When it goes to Barzakh, it needs Barzakhi body or Badani Misali. When it goes to Qiyamat, which is Alam Akh, it needs intellectual body. So that's why it happens so when people, they have not developed, let's say, their intellectual body, when they go to Qiyamat to Alam Akh, then they can see, they can hear. Well, what is all these Quran full of blind and deaf and, you know, and these are referring to these facts. Yes, I know.
I just thought about this, maybe it's kind of incorrect. Like, what we collect throughout our life in the shape of forms, both the imaginal and intellectual, are they our universe in Barzakh or it is beyond?
What we collect here as these forms.
Yeah, we know we live with them, right?
Okay.
We live with them. But is there more? Is there more? Because we say that our potentiality stops when we die, right? Or it slows down.
No, it stops.
Stops, right? So that means that there is no more to add on to it. Add to our idrak.
No, there is more to add. But see, there are different things. In potentiality, it refers to matter. It's only for the matter, material world. Okay, these motions and harakat, the jawhari we talk, is all about material world. But when you go to Barzakh, there is another way and another type of motions, which is not called motion anymore in this term and definitions. Right? When you go to Qiyamat, it's a different thing. They become Tajaddud Amsal. In Barzakh, they call it Tajaddud Amsal. Tajaddud Amsal is a different thing. But there is, but what really, what is still is valid is our perfection process becomes much slower in Barzakh. And you have matter is
See, for in material world, you are giving only 60, 70 years that you can achieve so much. But maybe the same thing in Barzakh takes ages. And they say, what can, this is from Ahadith, what can keep you moving and going in Barzakh is what you have left behind. It's not everything, in three things. It's either Sadaqah Jariyah, which they still come. But we don't know how. I mean, I don't know how. How when we are, I'm in Barzakh, yeah, if I've made a hospital, is going to help me, my motion in Barzakh. Or when you have left behind books or people who have learned from you, and then they all their good deeds, they also make you move as well. What was the third one?
Ibn al-Salihan.
Yeah, good children. They also, when they move around, they also, in the good deeds that they have, they are going to help us in our motion in Barzakh. But the other part of your talk, that when we go to Barzakh, what we have created in us as our Barzakh, is there anything outside this? Of course there is a lot outside this. Because that is called Alam-e-Khiyal-e-Muntashir. There is Alam-e-Khiyal-e-Munfasil. That Alam-e-Khiyal-e-Munfasil, you become like very similar. Look around now. That how your body, how, this is only my example. It may not be fully representing the case. How relationship of your body now to the whole world around you. Okay, if you go to Barzakh, your imaginal existence, there is an outer, bigger imaginal existence that you are within that. You are inside that. But what you have made for yourself as your imaginary existence, that your imaginary existence. It doesn't mean there is nothing outside you. Do you make sense? And same thing for intellectual. But for instance, to make it a bit more understandable, think of Ma'asum alayhi wasalam. When we go to Surat Insani, when our topic reaches to the issue of Surat Insani or human form, this is one of the things that you see there. That the whole alam khiyal munfasil, that means the absolute alam khiyal, is in union with Ma'asum, in Ghaus Sa'ud. But for us, it's smaller. Did I help? Did it help? Yes, there is outside of you, there is alam khiyal.
Can I ask the last question?
Why last? You're stopping other people to a question?
Oh, no, I mean my last question.
Okay,
So, does, when we go to Barzakh, which ilm stays, like, which ilm help us? I mean, I know ilm shahudi helps you, and you see things with it, but what about ilm husuli? Because it's in your memory, and when you die, your brain, and everything.
Okay, that's a very important question. I hope I can give the right answer. You say, when we die, in Barzakh, or even in Qiyamah maybe, which of these things that we have learned is helping us? Husuli or Huzuri?
Yeah. Okay. I know Huzuri will help, but about Husuri?
Allama Tabatabai proves that there is no ilm Husuli in his topics. He proves everything is Huzuri. But what does that mean? That doesn't mean that you have to separate these two from each other. It doesn't mean that when I learn, masalan, generosity is good, that it doesn't mean this is not ilm-huzuri, that saying that, okay, now you have got this ilm-huzuri, that now you are generous. It doesn't mean you are generous. So you have to differentiate between ilm-huzuri and husuli, and between becoming. You have to become something so that helps you. By just knowing huzuran or whatever that generosity is good, or generosity has got all those rewards, that is not going to help you. Does that make it more confusing? Yes, of course I have. I do that, and I leave it for future of this talk.
Ilm and amal, right, ilm and amal.
Yeah.
You ilm e huzur, you acquire the ilm, and then you implement it, and that...
Amal, Sajid is right. Amal is what makes the ilm, make you become your ilm. Okay?
amal, when you practice, you bring it to application to your daily life, that you become, when you keep giving to people generously, then gradually that amal leads you become generous. But you are not generous if you just know that generosity is good.
So if you believe that generosity is good, but you don't get the, example, the chance to be generous when you die, would you be?
Okay, if you don't I don't know how, because maybe when you think about generosity, it comes to your mind immediately that you have to be able to give $1,000 a day to someone. No, generosity can be in anything. Generosity can be, you know something, you generously pass it on to someone else. That's generosity. So there are different ways of showing the generosity.
So whatever...
Answering her question, where do we go, Agajana? In alme barzak, it's ilme huzur or ilme husul. What you're saying is, it's ilme husul is a subset of ilme huzur. So if you have ilme huzur, you acquire ilme husul. So in barzak, it's going to be ilme huzur. So even ilme husul is going to be there. But you just now said that Allama Tabatabai said that there is no ilme husul.
No, there is no ilme husuli, because it depends on what you think of ilme husuli when you think about the issue.
How do you answer the question?
Sorry?
How do you answer the question?
No, I'm saying ilme husuli has got its own definition. It comes from tasavvur and tasdeeq. Right? Ilme husuli is what is generated in you and is with you. So there are different definitions for ilme husuli and husuli. But what will help us in barzakh? Let's put it this way. I don't know, maybe that's not your question, but I try to give a different aspect to your question. Let's say this way. Knowing, learning all these ma'arif, masalan, about wilayat of ma'asumin. When I learn this, then in barzakh, I'm like them, I'm with them, I'm in that level. This is ilm. But what about amal? I don't have that amal, I only have that ilm. What I give the answer of Ayatollah Behjat, he said that when you learn, you increase the altitude of the flight. But you have to be able to fly first. Okay, you have given, like, I might be given this room and say, okay, this is maximum you can fly around. But if my flying ability comes from the actions I have had, but this room and space around me is what I know, so I can fly around this room. Someone else may be taken into a big, I don't know, very elevated house with a much higher altitude. Or when it comes to Masum, when we read the hadith from Masum, it says the house of Ali and Fatima salamullah alayhuma is Arshullah. The ceiling of their house is Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that means they have such a high altitude of flying. Does it make sense? So this is the relationship of what you know and what you do.
So do you forget what you know? If it sits in you and it becomes you,
and also even if it does not become you, if it's, you do what I said called tasbeet. Tasbeet means, okay, you hear something today and go and then you don't bother. That does not, I don't see how that...
It becomes your view, like the way you see it.
If it becomes, yeah, exactly. If, when it becomes your world view, when you see the world like
with
that.
With it.
Yes,
that
will be definitely very useful. That's the whole purpose of ilm nazari or tawheed nazari.
So that itself is amal.
Sorry?
That itself is amal. Yeah.
No, that should bring amal. That should bring amal.
Because...
let me give you another practical example. You learn, masalan, about wahdat wujud, oneness of being. Mm-hmm. What should that bring? In worldview-wise, for you, when you look at everything, you see Allah behind everything. Okay?
Yeah.
What does that do? Then that gradually must lead your action into, you cannot have any pretension anymore. Because no one is doing anything for you. And around you, that must bring ikhlas. That view of Bahdad al-Wujud must bring very high ikhlas. But no one is, you and the whole world, if you are here or not here, it should not make any difference in how I perform my salat, masalam. So that worldview brings some action of qalb.
Yeah.
Okay, so again, I still have that. You remind me of my question from Allama Hassan. So, fear, ilm, and amal. How they are different, I can't see the difference. Okay, so inshallah, we finish this. Inshallah, what this is telling me that all the ambiguities are removed, and when your essay of Aqd comes, we move on to the next step. Muhammad or Muhammad. Those who want to remain for breakfast, please do so.
I guess.